so I don't name it anymore.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, Audrey. Say that again. The British lady from Blog Talk was talking over you.
Now, Blog Talk Radio, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight from all over the world. Wherever you may be, we are glad to have you with us right here on establishing your faith. Move all these down like that. Move these guys over. Oh, no, no. Like this. There we go. Move this guy over like that. Huh. Well, let's see. Nope. That didn't happen effectively. Anyways, yes, as we were saying with Sister Francesca, Sister Sunday, the power of life and death is in your tongue. And, you know, there's many people that are like, well, I think that's a whole lot more. People make a lot more of that than what it actually is, but it really is that powerful. Power of life and death is in your tongue. And the more we get the revelation of it and we start watching and being a good steward of our tongue, of our words, then all of a sudden God gets the ability to open up so much more to us. And then he takes our words and our words begin to help other people in their words, which begins to change their lives, and the whole thing just gets going better and better and better and better and better. It just so everybody knows, there ain't a human on the face of this earth that's ever walked with God that hasn't had a battle from time to time dealing with their own tongue.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. And it seems to me, this is just my own personal thing, seems to me like there's just periods of time in our life where you don't have any trouble with it at all. And then all of a sudden you get a whole bunch more revelation and you're like, Proverbs, I am stupid. Of all the men on earth, I am the stupidest.
Watch those words.
Because what? I can't believe I just said that. Now I can't believe I said that. And I can't believe I just said all three of those things. And I just tried to change that to do that, so it would cancel out that and do that. And just shut up. And yet we can't shut up because the power of life and death is in our tongue. You got to be speaking. And so in those period of time like that, what the words you got to speak are the words that's the word of God.
Yeah.
That's why we make these confessions. That's why we encourage you to say them. Why? Because when you're speaking the word of God, you're not going to go wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
And speaking his word begins to change all the rest of it. And just so you know, it's not my message to me.
It isn't. It was just something good for me to talk about while you were trying to find your link.
And just so you know,
a good word.
And just so you know, the link did not show up. All right. I was wanting the link to show up. I was endeavoring for the link to show up. I was trying for the link to show up.
Okay, so while he's still looking, one of the cool things that they did was an actual study, which I always love when science delves into biblical teaching and proves the Bible right. And they did a study on this with people. First, they, you know, chose their people that typically have a positive attitude, and then those who don't. And then they made up groups of people with identical or very close ranges in physical health at the time. And they monitored them over years. And the people that, for 4 years, I believe this study went, and the people that had the kind of a negative attitude, negative words, choices, in 4 years' time, their health had declined. The ones that tended to talk about their family history and all of the things they anticipated going wrong with their health, and their focus was on that, and their health actually did, some of them, it said, unto death in 4 years' time. Their health declined. And the other ones, their physical health actually stayed the same, and many of them improved. The ones that had the higher focus and the better attitude and better usage of their words. And I'd like to tell you exactly what things it was. One of these days we'll do a program on it, and we'll give you the details of that. But it was, wow, so interesting. And it really is very true, and it's just another one of those things where science proves the Bible is right.
Keep speaking. You're getting softer in your language. You have to talk up.
Did anyone not hear me?
It's the
It's okay. We'll do a study on it, though, one time.
I think if, Leanne, this is Audrey. I think if you sit next to Sam, we can hear you better. No one can see you. I'm hearing you better.
Right. Here we go. Now, let's just take a look and see how this whole thing looks right here. there we are. It looks like Facebook is live. Looks like Blog Talk Radio is live. Looks like all y'all are live. Thank you, Sunday. And Audrey and Dan are with us on Zoom. Sister Rebecca's with us over on Facebook. I've not seen too many other people, but we're glad to have all y'all here. Oh, Brother James Denny's with us. Welcome, James. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen. So, welcome, family. We're back. Isn't that awesome?
Welcome.
That we're sitting here looking each other eye to eye. And God's blessing is with us. Those of you that's with us on Blog Talk Radio from around the world, we encourage you and we bless you tonight. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Know that we, the American church, are asking God to perform amazing, mighty, powerful, wonderful acts of miracle and love to and for you. May God's grace and his mercy and his blessing be yours in every part of your life. Father, we speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it to be with every one of our brothers and sisters around the world. Those that are listening, those that haven't heard us yet, but we declare, help them hear us, Jesus. May this word go deep across the internet and go to many people's lives, so that we can be a blessing to them. We speak it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak it according to God's holy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's... Now that we got everything up and running, let's share the screen. We'll make our opening declaration of faith and prayer that we always do. Isn't that something? All right, well, we'll back up and we'll try it again. It doesn't hurt to punt. When you got to punt, you got to punt. We definitely know how to do this much greater and better than we've ever done before.
Mm-hmm. And so much more. Remember when we were just on Facebook Live.
Okay, well.
Well, that's a nice picture. Wow, we haven't seen that in a while. Rebecca, are you buying me something from the store? Is that why you're there?
I thoroughly expect you to function absolutely exactly like you're supposed to.
Amen.
There we go. Everybody ready? I think I'm ready.
I'm ready.
We're on our opening screen. The video's all off. We're going to make the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to sing our song. We're going to say our opening prayer. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
This is who we are. This is what makes us strong. So, if you will, rise together with me. Let's get ourselves started. Here we go. Are you ready? Render your honor. Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, let's sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home. And now, let's make the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And you want to say it with me? And I believe.
And I believe.
And I believe. Now, let's make our opening prayer. Together.
Father, we pray this
prayer and make this declaration as your children,
the heirs
of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shout it with me. I am an heir of God.
I am an heir of God.
You are, you are, you are. Here we go. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And now we're going to do Ephesians chapter 4. I know I'm going to have a title for this chapter. Not quite got it, but I can tell it's coming in the realm of the Spirit. Because this is one of the most powerful chapters of the whole New Testament. Because it talks about you and I in the body, you and I as the body, but then it talks about each of us as individuals and how we all function together to make the kingdom of God come to this earth. And it's all found right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Here we go, verse 1. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called,
with all lowliness and gentleness,
with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I love it because it talks about the body. Then it talks about God. And it's just one. And then you go to verse 7 and it says, but to each one of us, grace was given, making every one of us of absolute value in the kingdom of God. Point your finger at yourself. Wait, point your long bony finger at yourself and say, you are the power of the body.
You are the power of the body.
You are.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. This is the fivefold ministry in the body working together. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now make it personal. I may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, when you think about it, verse 13, you're coming to the knowledge of the Son of God. And most certainly, we as an organization are going to figure out how we got to work together, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to know about me and the organization. You need to know, come to the unity of the faith, come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And in the process of us all chasing that, we all become a perfect body of Christ.
Amen.
Because none of us would ever go astray or go against each other. I hope you're getting this revelation, because it is like, woo, it's amazing revelation. Matter of fact, my dad would get up and run the aisles right here in this little church. And I could do it yet tonight. I don't think anything's in the way that'll knock me down, but you never know. Ephesians 4:14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we join the voices of every prayer warrior, every patriot warrior, every passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. And thank you, Father, that you have blessed America.
Amen.
Thank you. That you have blessed America. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. United we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, we speak faith, we speak life, we speak revival into the United States of America. We declare right now, in the name of Jesus, that there is revival in the executive branch. Say that with me. Revival in the executive branch. Revival in the judicial branch. Revival in the legislative branch. May there be revival all over Washington, D.C. May it no longer be a wicked nation. May righteousness exalt the city of Washington, D.C. May righteousness exalt that city. Now, give me just a second. Here we go. This thing's got to advance faster. I got to think about what I'm doing better. There we go. Nope. There we go. The Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. I just had this thought reading that last line. There's a lot of nations around the world that is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, according to the charter of their nation. But guess what? According to God Almighty, that's how it is. And even though it might be a king, and even though it might be a kingdom with a king, you know, that government can still make it and be an honest government that is not perverse and corrupt. There's many nations around the world that are actually righteous nations. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be really happy on the day when Jesus judges the nations. And there's many nations around the world that are very wicked, and they're not going to be happy on the day that Jesus judges the nations. There's a the verse in, I don't know, Luke or Matthew, one of the two, whatever it is, that says he's going to go and gather the nations, and the goat nations will be on the left, and the sheep nations are going to be on the right. That's going to be a tough day for some of these nations. But every one of us, you and I, have the ability to speak over our nation no matter where we are.
Yep.
Here we go. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, I stopped the share, and I actually wanted to stay in the share.
But we can always go back.
We definitely know how to go back, don't we? Let's go here.
It has been very interesting. Well, it always is, but especially on this
turn your head this way and
cross-country journey. As you go through the different cities and states and you see the different areas, and we've been speaking life and Jesus into and over everything as we've gone, and you just know that you are changing the atmosphere and making a difference, and that's just what we have to do. That is
our responsibility. Now, I'm going to, I guess I did it right the first time. let's get YouTube going. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. All of our friends around the world, whatever platform you may be on, we welcome you. I encourage you to share this with a lot of people. Tonight's going to be a very powerful night. And we want you to enjoy it with us.
Amen.
So our first verse that we're going to go to is found in 1 Peter. And I want to have this on. And so I can't see my notes, but let's do this. 1 Peter chapter 3. So I'm just kind of digging up my notes back again, and I want to keep this up here in front of us. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3. One through seven. First Peter three, 1-7. I just am not going to be able to do what I'm trying to get done yet, so it'll be all right. Back. There we are. Hi, Rebecca. Good to have you with us. Now, 1 Peter 3, and when you see this, you're going to see this as Peter is talking to husbands and wives. And we're going to use this tonight. And our title tonight, you believe, I've got all, I've got all of these platforms up where I can see them, and there ain't a title on a one of them. Heirs together of the grace of life. That's our title tonight. Heirs together of the grace of life. If you don't see your favorite community of faith are here with us tonight, send them a text. Send them a message. Say, hey, we're missing you. Show up for church. Or, you know, or something like that. I mean, be kind and friendly and everything. But the righteous are as bold as a lion, so it's all right if you're bold.
We just been missing you. That's
I just got to add a few more screens to my presentation, and then I'll be able to stay over there in the presentation, which is what I'm really endeavoring to get to, is that all of us can be seeing the Word of God and seeing the words right on the screen. I don't know how. I don't know if you have the ability to copy and paste right off my screen, but wouldn't that be something if we could set that up?
Yeah, I've tried before. It doesn't work.
You have tried before. Mm-hmm. Well, you might need to get a new phone. No? Not this
nope,
week?
Nope, not this week.
How many of you love the thrill of a new phone? You get a new phone, it's like, wow, this is cool. Look at all these nice things. And then once you get past the thrill, you know, the first hour, you're like, are you kidding me? Why are you not doing what my old phone used to do
yeah,
so effectively?
Exactly.
Here we go. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. Our title tonight is Heirs of the Grace of Life. I charged right through my announcements, didn't I? I did. So I have to slow down. It's what Sister Leanne is always telling me. Everybody say, thank God for Sister Leanne.
Thank God for Sister Leanne.
All right. I'm going. I don't know if you can tell I'm ready to go. I'm ready to teach the word. But let's do some announcements first. Sunday, we're going to be at the state capitol in Lansing and receive communion together on the Capitol steps. All right. Now, Sister Francetta made a Facebook event page. You can find it in the family thread that tells you the information. I think she did a good job of it. I'm really glad she did it because that's somebody just saying, wait, I know how to do this. I'm going to make this happen. What do you think, Pastor? And then she sent it to me and said, check it out. And I think she did a good job. So, 3 p.m., be there on time. Did you notice that it said there on, in that?
It did.
It said be on time.
Oh, I didn't see the
date. Yeah, it did. It actually said be on time.
I'm going to have to go.
This is a specific time event. Be there on time. So, 3 o'clock, Capitol Steps. We'll meet on the east side. The east side is where there's a nice, the nice street that comes right up to it. And that's where most of the event happens, is on the east side. All right? And I'm not going to have an event. I'm not going to have power. I'm not going to have a sound system. We're all going to meet right there together, stand close enough to each other and together that we can create 50 degrees at the Capitol, whether or not it's in the air.
It is going to be in the air.
And everybody speak 50 degrees for Sunday. Just speak it. We are the ones that's in control of this earth. And so we are here to tend and keep. Help me tend and keep with 50 degrees. So just be there. You can park right there on the east side. As you come up to the Capitol, I don't even know the name of the street. I used to, but anyways, you can park right there. Nothing's going on downtown on Sunday nights in the Capitol, so it'll be a pretty vacant place. And make sure you have your own grape juice and your own crackers. Don't come waiting for somebody else to take care of you. Do it yourself. And then if all of us show up with our own grape juice and crackers, if somebody else just kind of wanders up, we'll be able to be a blessing to them. You can share it with your friends. If you have friends that like to do these kind of things at the state capitol, share it with them. Tell them to come. But remember, this isn't a big, huge, organized event. I don't have a sound system. Not going to have a rock band or any other band. We might sing a song about the blood of Jesus. We probably will. But I encourage you, in any way, if you can, thank you, whoever said that, the screen is black. Thank you, Sunday. Appreciate that. Because I got three screens up here where I'm talking. But I appreciate that. Capitol Avenue and Michigan Avenue. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. God bless the Lansingite. All right? And we really want to see your face there that day. And it'll be a blessing to us. We can go from there. There's, ready for this? There's McDonald's and Burger King's close. It's downtown Lansing on a Sunday afternoon. And there may not be much open at all downtown, but we'll find some place to go hang out for a little bit and have a cup of coffee together. I'm not trying to make you buy a big meal. And we just want to see your face. And I want to say this. I want to give you guys a package of prayer cloths. I want to anoint you with oil and pray over you as part of our body of believers. All right? I want to anoint your pocketbooks that you've all sent your tithe and offerings in from and ask God to richly bless you.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So if it's real cold, just put on more long johns and wear all your fuzzy slipper blanket stuff you wear all the time and show up because we want to see it. And then we'll all go to your house. I don't think there'll be any more than about 50, but of course the neighbors have parties with 50, so we might as well have one too. That was to Sister Rebecca.
Well, she's going to make a pot roast.
Now, here's what we're doing. Our program is called Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, which are the walls that are torn down. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague will not be upon you as a destruction. And that's what we're going for there that day when we're there. So thank you, and may God richly bless you. Continually pray for us. We see a big picture of what God wants us to do. We see many cities of this nation we should go preach in. It takes money. And so I ask you, every time we come here, I'm saying again tonight, please pray for us that the vision, we will see the vision clearly. All right? And then the most important part of that is that the vision produces the provision. And that we're in the right place, you're in the right place, and all the provision that we need and God has for us comes to us from around the world. There comes a point, until you are a multi-billionaire, it wouldn't matter how much money you gave, there's always going to be the need for us to have more money. Now, not taking an offering. I'm not begging you for money. I want to get this point home to every one of us today. It takes money to run the work of the ministry. I can't have you give me all your money and you be broke and not able to function in the ministry and in life. So what does that mean? You be faithful with your tithe and offering. God tells you to sow. And sow your time, your talent, and your treasure. You be faithful to it. And then every day, ask for God to send us many people. Ask God to send us many people who will be partners with us. There's over 500 people that draw on this ministry on a regular basis. There's over 150 that is a very regular basis. So there's plenty of people that are a part of this that God has already asked to partner financially with us. What happens then? They may not be able to do what we're doing. When you sow into it, you get to reap from it.
Yeah.
If you're a part of the family thread, I put a post in there from Dr. Barclay's message last night at his church. He tells the story of a Ukrainian pastor and then a lady sowing money to help pastors. Mm-hmm. And all of his statements right there about that into the offering, I didn't get to hear the whole message yet. I only got the offering part. But was very powerful teaching on how the kingdom operates. All right? Guys, from this day until Jesus comes, every preacher you're going to know is going to ask you for money. Why? Because it takes money to run this kingdom, and the need is so great everywhere, that you're just going to see it. So this is why I keep saying it. I want every one of us to get this understanding of how the kingdom operates. And find that place where God's designed your seed to be. And then focus it. So that you can have a big field of wheat and corn and grain and whatever else you need. Because God's kingdom doesn't have any lack. There's zero lack in God's kingdom. But if you don't figure out how the kingdom operates, then you can be standing in a kingdom where there is no lack and end up with lack and wondering, what in the world, how come I got lack and I'm in the kingdom? Now, I'll say it once again. Thank you for every one of you, for your faithfulness in your tithe and your offering. Thank you for sowing to the radio ministry. God, help us get it going. Thank you for sowing into making this work with your time, your talent, your treasure, your faith, your love, your prayers. Now, our place is to say, Lord, bring all of us to say it. Bring all of the partners together to help this get this ministry, this work accomplished in this earth, in this kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name. And amen and amen. Now, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I got it said. You'll find it in the family thread, the Facebook announcement. What'd you call that? Facebook?
Event.
As soon as I said announcement, it's like, well, that ain't the right word. What's this thing called? Here we go. Now, hold your Bible up, and we're going to make our confession about the Word of God. We are doing this. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is making His Word come alive.
Is making His Word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant Him as a seed.
And plant Him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3. Everybody pause for a minute. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, you might say, this is talking about husband and wife. There's a principle here I want us to see about the kingdom. We were talking a couple, not last night, but the night before, we were talking about being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Of course, we study those verses. We speak them all the time, Romans 8, 14 through 17. And so, we're going to talk tonight about heirs together of the grace of life. This is a powerful word. So take some notes. Title it, Heirs Together of the Grace of Life. 1 Peter 3, 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Did you hear it? Now listen. Somehow many people feel like that's how it's supposed to be. But that is not what Peter's saying at all. Ready? That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear because you beat them with a frying pan.
Oh.
You don't think it says that. See, if we're not careful, my chaste conversation is also followed up with a frying pan. Because it's accompanied by fear. Well, see how you can take the word of God and make it say anything you want to make it say. Well, no, you can't. You can try, but the word of God is going to speak the word of God. So keep reading. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But please, do your hair and wear some apparel that is very befitting And it's okay if you have on some jewelry. You know how I know? Because God told the children of Israel to borrow all the jewelry they can borrow from all the Egyptians, and they put them on their sons and their daughters. So he's just telling you that that's not what makes you a beautiful person. That's just an outward adornment. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Now, that doesn't mean sit around and do nothing. The righteous are as bold as a lion. What it does mean is don't be the loud, obnoxious person. No, I'm trying to put another word in there, but I'm not getting it, so I'm not going to add any words for the Holy Spirit. Peter's saying to all of us, not just women. I mean, I'm in lead mode 24/7. And I even get that way even in our own relationship with Leanna. But when I'm here in our relationship, then I be husband. I'm still leader, but I still gotta be husband. And so you gotta fine tune your life in all parts of your life at all times of your life. Otherwise it gets way out of order. Now watch. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. But that doesn't mean be silent. You're going to speak the word of God bolder than anybody's ever going to speak over your family, because you're in that family. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now, here's the revelation of it. God has an order that he put on this earth. And you're not going to change that order. God made the man the leader of the home, and you know, the King James, the New King James calls him the head. But in the midst of being the head, you can't throw out verse 7. You ready? Everybody, read verse 7 out loud amongst us. Husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Well, that doesn't sound to me like anybody gets to be a male chauvinist pig leader, violent, oppressive man, does he? See, what you can't take out that one phrase that says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, I know somebody just said, I thought you weren't talking about marriages tonight. Well, all right, these verses are for marriages, but let's talk about the body of Christ. That's a family, right? Sister Leanne, as much an heir of the grace of life as I am, each of you are as much an heir of the grace of life as the other one is. There is nobody in this ministry that's more important than the other one. Is that making sense, what I'm saying about heirs of the grace of life? Now, I want you to understand something. In the kingdom of God, there's a lot of people and a lot of church organizations that have this thing way, 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 way out of order. And there's going to be many people who show up here that are going to have it out of order. And the men's going to be out of order, and the women's going to be out of order. Ready? And the ecclesia relating to one another is going to be out of order. Does the Bible say to honor and show respect to the spiritual leaders in your life? Well, yes, it does. Book of Timothy says that you should honor those who give themselves to the doctrine and the teaching of the Word of God. And actually, Timothy says that they are worthy of actually double honor. Let's go look at that. What God is teaching us right now tonight is how to get along with each other right here in the community of faith. We know we're heirs of God. We know we're ambassadors of the cross. We know we're ministers of reconciliation. But just like a marriage relationship has to be two people, both of them heirs of God and friends with Jesus, so is the body of Christ. I thought I could put my finger right on that, love. I think the verse says that honor those who are worthy of double honor. I think that's what it says. Those who teach. Anyways, Sister Leanne is very proficient at finding the verses that I need. Yeah. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let's go look at it. Wait, get you one of your markers. Hold it in 1 Peter 3 because we're coming back there. 1 Timothy 5:17. Say it with me. Heirs together of the grace of life. Now, as soon as a husband and wife will get this fact down, the marriage problems go away. Why? Because you're both an heir of the grace of life. As soon as everybody in the church grabs this revelation, church problems between people go away. Why? Because we got to realize, I got to treat you as a fellow heir, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Because if I don't treat you that way, that verse said my prayers won't be heard. I don't want my prayers to not be heard. How about you? Pastor, I like it when you talk about faith, moving mountains, conquering demons. I know. I like that too. But I also know that right here, right now, today, this is like a very important message to all of us right now today. 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Well, double honor there is actually talking about double money. Those who labor well in the word of God and doctrine, they're worthy of it. But wait a minute. I want you to get this picture so loud and clear tonight that I just completely remove this old denominational yuck that hangs around people's lives. It does not say that the elders who rule well are worthy of double worship or double elevation to a high and lofty position.
Nope.
Worthy of double honor? Yeah. Especially the man and woman of God who give themselves completely to the kingdom of God, and they leave all the rest of it Yeah. They're worthy of double honor. But they are not worthy of double worship. And it does not take away from the fact that they're heirs together of the grace of life, that the person that's opening the door, the person that's here, clicking like on the post, saying a prayer for somebody else that shows up and has a prayer request, you're as important in this ministry as anybody else.
Yes, yes.
And not only do I have to have that understanding, each of us must have that understanding. Because that will cause us to treat one another in love. And any petty difference that comes up between us will be dealt with. And we'll get over it. And there'll be no schism in the body. There'll be no division in the body. Nobody's going to worship anybody any greater than anybody, any other person. And we're all going to have fun together. We're all going to grow together. We're all going to stand in faith together. We're all going to stand side by side with one another together all the way through till Jesus comes. Guys, darkness is coming on this earth greater than it's ever been before. And there's nothing that we can do to stop it. The only thing that we can do is to crank up the light in our own lives so that the light in us is bright in the middle of the darkness. Is that making sense how I said that? You and I can't stop the darkness. But the darkness can't stop our light either.
Amen.
And so what you and I've got to continually be looking at is, I got to get my light bright. Find the darkness anytime you can. I got a word for you. It doesn't do you and I any good to bind wickedness that we don't have any power over. Let it sink in. What did you just say, Pastor? What do you think I don't have power over? Well, the point of this statement is this. You can take on AIDS in your personal private prayer time all over the whole world if God assigns you that in prayer. But if he doesn't assign you it, and you're out there fighting that AIDS thing all over the whole world, what are you going to do? You're trying to conquer something that's going to run rampant when God's already given you a very specific assignment. And when you put your words to it, it severs enemy control because he put you on this earth for a very specific process. Say this with me. I'm heirs together of the grace of life.
Of the grace of life.
Take, for example, this body called the community of faith. The righteous are as bold as a lion. That's one of the things that we're a part of. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's who we are. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's who we are. The Romans chapter 5, verse 17. You and I got to be partakers the righteousness of God and receive that gift of righteousness and then reign in life with Jesus. That's who we are. But see, that reigning is for a specific place. That's why we say continually, you got to watch who you're putting your alignment with, who you're putting, where you're putting your money, where you're putting all your thoughts, who you're watching on TV. Because God's got a gift inside of you that's designed for a specific place, a specific time, a specific process. You can bless anybody, anywhere, anytime where you're at, where somebody needs a blessing, but God wants you in a specific body getting a specific mission accomplished. If that makes sense. So, as you see all that, you realize I am an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus, but I'm also, according to Peter, an heir of the grace of life. And we just read right here what happens to so many preachers is they get it all out of context because they allow people to worship them rather than to worship the God that's in them and to give honor where honor's due to the person who is leading the organization. And you got, there's no way around it. That's not anybody else's responsibility except yours and mine. I can get too big for my britches, and so can you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
One guy said, Pastor, where does that statement come from? Too big for your britches? I don't know.
It's not in the Bible.
Sister Leanne just looked the verse up. Did she find it? It's not there.
There is a reference to Christ. Many references to Christ.
And if you go to the book of Proverbs, it's going to talk about the man who's stuck on himself, stuck in his own ways. You've got to be thoroughly convinced in your own mind. Paul said, be thoroughly convinced in your own mind. Actually, it wasn't Paul. It was John. Or it could have been Peter. Who knows? One of them boys over there in the New Testament made that statement. But you can't be convinced in your own mind and arrogant. You can't be convinced in your own mind and so stuck on yourself and your own thing that you don't make room for the next person standing next to you. Because in order for this body to work, you've got to be an heir of the grace of life, and I've got to be an heir of the grace of life. In this dark world, the light that you and I got to be is the light that treats everyone like they're someone. That treats everyone the same way. Treats everyone as if there's no big guy or little guy. That treats everyone in the grace of God, in the love of God, and in the ways of God. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I know. This is just a good message that's cleaning out the pipes, but they got to be cleaned out. I love all of God's leaders. But as a leader, even in all the leadership processes that you have to put in place, you still can't be arrogant and stuck on yourself. Think about Jesus. Jesus was in crowds. Where did I tell you where he's going? Oh, verse 8. Jesus was in crowds. And 25,000 people. I mean, that one reference we read this week said that crowd was trampling him almost. That wasn't the word it used, trample, but anyways, it was pressing hard on him. What's that mean? People were all around him. Healing virtue was flowing out of him. They people wanted to touch him. The woman with the issue of blood touched him, was healed. Can you imagine how far that went? That message went everywhere. People were trying to touch the hem of his garment after that forever. Why? They heard the story. And it turned into a life-transforming fact. You and I are going to have to become more powerful, more anointed. We're going to have to give ourselves to more of God's presence so that his glory is seen on our face and our life. Be very strong in our places of leadership and lead, but we've got to treat every other person like they're an heir of the grace of life. What will that cause us all to do? That will cause us all to check ourselves, to keep ourselves in check, so that we're not being offensive to someone else and the family and the group and the ministry. in any place where God sends us. We won't be stuck on ourselves, like the one man said. Oh, I see what your problem is. You don't have a self-image. And then the next guy said, oh, I see what your problem is. You have too much of a self-image. Both of those are imbalanced. People who only see themselves as useless, worthless, they're of nothing because they had a mom, a dad, a leader in their life that treated them like they were nothing. Well, you can't let that stop you, and don't ever think that another day. You are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're a minister of reconciliation. So that none of those words are a useless, worthless, good-for-nothing word. All of those words says you are looking at yourself as a slave. You're staring at me funny, but am I making sense tonight? Well, I just got to be honest. Now, what other people say, I got to just tell you the truth, you know? Yeah, but you don't have to say your eyes are bugging out. Verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. All of you be of one mind. Do you know how difficult that is? For all of us to be of one mind? When you go back here to Ephesians chapter 4 that we read every night, verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, whose mind are we going to all have to be a part of? The mind of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:13. And that's also 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Ephesians 4:13, 1 Corinthians 2:16. But as soon as you and I give ourselves to the mind of Christ, all of a sudden we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what begins to happen is maturity and love and peace and strength for all the brethren. And when you start looking at it, we're going to get ourselves above offense. Isn't that cool? Yeah. To finally be the people that will, that are be impossible to be offended. I hate offense and I hate being offended. How many would agree with me?
Amen.
Offense just rots your own soul. I don't like offense. I don't like people offended with each other. Why? That means somebody's in pride, somebody doesn't have humility, or probably two somebodies don't have humility.
Amen.
Verse 8, finally, my brethren, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Want to say it with me? I choose to inherit this blessing. See, this Bible, the Word of God is very simple to see and know and understand. But we got to get all of our humanness out of the way that's stopping us from receiving this engrafted Word of God. When your spirit man is born again, you are in perfect agreement with God Almighty. Your spirit man is in perfect agreement with God Almighty. The only problem you have in your life is your soulish realm that is standing in the way, trained by a human to act in a manner that's going against the perfect communion that you have with your Father. Now think about this. We're using internet platforms here. And we've got to not only have interpersonal relationships with each other, trust one another, love one another, pray for one another, but we got to do that while we're sitting here some nights frustrated with the stinking internet that's not working right. Like Sister Phyllis. The last couple of nights, been signing on and saying, go to the next meeting. Well, there ain't no next meeting. What do you mean, go to the next meeting? This is the meeting. And I don't see Phyllis here anywhere tonight. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. May you be able to be here. And the same with Mary, Pastor Rick, and any of the rest of you that's having trouble. Why? Because we have a tight bond in the realm of the spirit. We got to deal with this internet. Since God's made this an important part of our lives, now we've got to master it so that we can help other people master it. Can you imagine if we were leading 150 churches that was doing the same thing we're doing right now? They don't have to teach what I teach. They should be teaching what God gave them to teach in their ministry. But if we had 150 people and they all had 150 people that was receiving from them, how many people did we just reach? We reached a whole bunch of people. Well, why are we not doing it? Because we got to fine-tune our process. We got to be heirs. We got to be stewards. We got to figure out how to make it very fine-tuned, very excellent. It will never be perfect because you're dealing with humans and internet. It will never be perfect, but it'll be greater than it was yesterday. It'll be better and more excellent. Let's look at that verse again. Hold your place in 1 Peter 3. But look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:13. I want to look at this verse again. Thank you for helping us put the verses in. We need all of your help that can help us do that. Makes it so much more effective for Sister Leanne to be able to stay connected with where I'm at and what's going on in the program. If somebody on each of the platforms can be a part of making the verses happen there. You ready? Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Well, that's a challenge in itself. And the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Well, let's use Sister Phyllis and my mom as examples of a perfect man. They're both in their 80s. They're both women of God. They both love God. They've both walked with God for many years. How many of you would agree that they're much farther today than they were when they first started? And yet, when they began their Christian walk, they chased God with everything they had in their heart. Would God have looked at them and said, well done, good and faithful servant? Had they gone to heaven? He most certainly would. So they would say that in Ephesians 4:13, to a perfect man, at that point in their life, they were perfect. And yet today, they're much more perfect than they were that day. What is perfection? It's not absolutely no mistakes. It is the sinless perfection of excellence, giving it everything you got today with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, and then saying, tomorrow I'm going to do better. What did we learn yesterday that can make today a more effective day? Every day is perfect. Why? Because you were born again. You're filled with the righteousness of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're chasing God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is perfect. It says it right there in that verse. To a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you reaching today for everything God has for you right here, right now in your life today? Yes, and so am I. And your spirit, man, is in perfect agreement with God Almighty. It's your soulish man that's in the way of allowing that perfect agreement between you and the Father to manifest exceeding abundantly above right here in this life. So what do we got to do? Stick our nose back in the book and say, God, help me see it today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. That's what this body has been known about ever since we got here. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for revival, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he would have life and see, for he who would have life and see good days, let him refrain his own tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, mark your two places there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 3. And go with me now to Proverbs chapter 6. Marjorie Wilson, welcome. Marjorie.
Well, hi, Marjorie Wilson. Good to have you with us.
Marjorie, remind me where we know you from. We know her from.
She is a friend of Dan.
There you go. Yeah, you're one of Dan and Gwen's friends. Yes, welcome, ma'am. It's good to have you with us
today.
It is
good to have you with us.
And it's always good to see your smiling face. Everybody pray a prayer of blessing to Marjorie. Father, we bless Marjorie. We bless her inner spirit, her soul, her body. We bless her family, her friends, her faith. Bless our dear sister Marjorie, who comes by here every now and then with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Look at there. Gail Blunt is with us.
Hi, Gail.
Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll be in that number. When the saints come marching in. Now, Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go to verse 12 through 19. Now, you might say, whoa, Pastor, you're scooping deep right here. I am. But I'm scooping by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So, we're talking about the Christian graces of life. And our main verse for tonight is 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And that's the verse that says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not heard. But I'm not preaching a message necessarily to husband and wives unless you need it. I'm preaching a message to you and I to treat one another in the kingdom, because they are heirs together of the grace of life. Let's look at these verses. I'm in Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A worthless person, a wicked man, my son and brother are his friend. I've only met him one time. That's all right. He speaks highly of you, Marjorie. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles with his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. You ever met somebody that just everywhere they go, they sow discord rather than life? Therefore, as his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Now, I want you to see something. The Holy Spirit showed this to me. There's a lot of believers who are battling with verses 12 through 15 in their life. They're born again. They're spirit-filled. They love God with all of their heart. However, something and mostly someone in their life taught them to be verses 12 through 15, and you became it, but it's not you. Dave Villiard's with us.
Hi, Dave.
Brother Dave. Hold the fort down. We'll see you. I want to read verses Proverbs 6, 12 through 15 again. Well, Pastor, what if I was somebody that was trained to be like that? That's your soulish realm that was trained to be that way. Your spirit man's been born again. Now we got to get your soul in line with what your spirit automatically is, an heir of the grace of life. Ready? Verse 12. Proverbs 6, 12. A worthless person, that's a messed up statement. A wicked man walks with a perverse mouth. Did you see what the Holy Spirit just called somebody with a perverse mouth? Pastor, don't call me worthless. I'm not. I'm saying to you, you were trained in a worthless process. You ever met somebody that cusses so bad that their words don't even make sense? Their sentences don't make sense? They're only like that because somebody taught them to be like that. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I was in the military. That's just how we talk in the military. Okay. You're now in God's army. That's not your nature anymore. Don't talk that way. Wait. It is a challenge. Everybody's got to fight it. I realized after I was around Dr. Barclay and got in SMTI and stuff, all of a sudden I realized, you know what? I am a very snide person. And I went to war on that to become gentle and to become friendly and to not be a mocker. It's okay if it's quiet tonight because I'm dealing with every one of us right in the middle of our place, especially these four verses right here that you and I would look and say, wait, somebody trained me to be that way. I don't even want to be that way, Pastor. I know you don't. Neither do I. Neither did I. But I had to come to a point one day where I said, you know what? I'm a mocker. And I'm not going to be that. That was a long time ago. And I went to war on that. And I got to the point in my life where I would just put my hand over my mouth. Now, there was a couple times I just put my fingers on my lips like this. What was I telling myself? Shut up, Sam. Then I got to where I could just put my hand over my mouth like I was rubbing my beard or something. And then I got to the point where I just say, wait, just shut up. And I learned to shut up. Why? Because if you're a mocker, God has no use for you. Now, those of you that's born again, you're not a mocker. You were trained in your soulish man. Am I saying this clearly enough? You were trained in your soulish man to be that way. So don't, and ask God to help you. And I want you to know, I will stand alongside of you every day in this battle no matter how long it takes till you win. If you don't walk away from me, I'll never walk away from you. I will help you win this battle till you're free of it. Why? Because nobody likes a mocker. Nobody. Because they mock everything. They got a divisive, derisive statement about everything and everybody. Nobody likes that person. If it's you, look yourself in the mirror, say it, and say, I'm not going to be that way another day of my life. We're all heirs together of the grace of life. What's a good example of a mocker? That's just somebody that's always making fun of everything. It doesn't matter what it is. They are always mocking everything.
Somebody says something positive, they'll scoff at it like they're right.
They've always got a derisive down statement for everything. Wait. Nobody's saying anything out loud. If it's you, don't say it here. Nobody needs to know your stuff. I am here tonight encouraging you in the things of God. Say this with me. My spirit, man, is in perfect relationship with God. It's my soulish man I got to get fixed. Say it. I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I live in the body. You, this control of your soul, your mind, your willpower, and your emotions, and drive out any of that out of you. Let me say something different. Some people are trained to just cuss like a drunken sailor. Some people are trained to make a bad, dirty joke out of everything. I had several friends in Bible college. It's like there was nothing. Every time you had a conversation with them, it was always going to lead to something sexual. These are young men at a Bible college. How in the world does a young man at a Bible college always lead his conversation to something that's sexual? Except that somebody trained him in that. And as we begin to see it, guess what happened? Somebody trained that guy in that. And it wasn't long talking to him, you could figure out what it was. Maybe yours isn't a perverse tongue. Maybe yours is you got a slapstick comedy for everything. Nothing wrong with having fun. Nothing wrong with laughing, joking, and having fun, but anytime it gets to coarse jesting, that's always going to be offensive. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 13. He winks with his eye. He shuffles his feet. He points with his finger. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. And he sows discord amongst the brethren. His calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. I know this is a serious message, but as this darkness comes on this earth, you and I got to have every form of darkness outside of our life.
Amen.
Wait, I didn't say that right. Out of our life. Let's keep reading. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yet, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. A proud look is just somebody looking at somebody else saying, I'm better than you. No, you're not. Who's better than who? Ain't nobody better than anybody. Everybody's got to walk across the same piece of land to get to heaven. Everybody. Whether you're the king or you're the commoner. Whether you're a pauper or a prince. Everybody has to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody's got to worship the Lord with their tithe, sow a seed, speak the word, read the Bible, pray. There's nobody on the face of the earth that gets to be any place in the kingdom except by doing those things. That's it. It's just where it is. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Do we honor those who teach us the word? Yeah, you should. I have great honor for Dr. Barclay. Worship him? No. Do I think he's better than me? No. Does he know more in God than I do? Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. But bow down and worship him? No. Have the highest respect for him? Yes. Honor him? Oh, yeah. You guys hear me say it all the time. Talk about my pastor, my ordaining elder. But worship? No. See what we're learning? We're going to a new level, a higher level of us than we have ever been before. And the verse we're using is heirs together of the grace of life. Keep reading. A proud look. I'm in 17. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Thank you, Rebecca. A false witness who speaks lies, and anyone who sows discord among the brethren. Now, I want to say this because the Holy Spirit showed this very specifically to me the other day. And that is, there are some people that are born again, spirit-filled. They love God. They pray in the Spirit. They believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. And yet they were trained by someone in their life to be these people that I just read. And you've been condemned by it. Stop being condemned and realize it's just your soulish realm that's out of order. And you, the Spirit, got to get the word out, put it down in your heart, and bring the soulish realm into proper position with God. Our cups are out there if you want to get them. Our cups are out there if you want to get them. You don't have to. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't like that chapter over there. I don't like Proverbs chapter 6. But it was very interesting to me the other day to have the Father say, I want you to see that there's a bunch of people. Isn't that sad, Gail? But usually you can share it if you go to YouTube. YouTube will usually let you share it on Facebook. Facebook will let you share it. Wait, Facebook will let you share YouTube on Facebook. Who knows? All we're doing, Gail, is learn how to punch the devil in the face and keep moving. No, Sam's going to fix his soulish realm right now. I ain't punching no devil in the face because he's not standing looking at me. He is crushed underneath Jesus' feet, which is my feet, and he's going to stay underneath my feet in Jesus' mighty name. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. This is the chapter that you and I live in on a regular basis. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic because it's a very, very, very good statement. All right? So, 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to, I'm going to read the first three verses in the New King James. I'm going to read 4 through 8 in the Amplified. Ready? 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I've become a sounding gong or brass and a tingling cymbal. That's what you sound like. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could have removed mountains, but have not love, but do not treat each other as heirs of the grace of life, I am nothing. Do you see what that verse says? I am nothing. But you're not nothing. Because your spirit, man, is in perfect relationship with the Father. And the Father, you and the Father have a perfect relationship, a father-son, father-daughter relationship. And yet tonight he's using me to show a picture of soulish realms in our life that somebody trained us in. It's not us. It's not who we are, but it's what our soulish realm was trained in. And nobody can confront you in it but you and God and the Holy Spirit. Ready? Verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, yet if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Could you imagine dying and you get to heaven and there's absolutely no benefit of it? There's a whole lot of people that have lived on this earth that suffered and died from cancer. They were being told by a religious spirit that they were suffering with it for Jesus. And there's no spiritual value in that. Well, Pastor, if I suffer good, isn't God proud of me? Well, if you suffer, if in the middle of an attack, you go to war and drive it off, God's very proud of you. But if you stand up and say, God's given this to me for the glory of God. Nope. No blessing from God because it's not true. God put all the sickness and disease on Jesus, not on any other human. Nobody else has the ability to carry it because you are a sinful being. You have committed a sin. Jesus never sinned. That's why he could carry it for 6 hours. Everybody say 6 hours. He didn't carry it forever. He carried it for 6 hours till he died, took it to hell where it belonged, and left it. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. I should have at least got like a heart or a thumbs up or something. I'll give myself some good speaking right now. Good preaching. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Now check this out. Love endures long and is patient and kind. You're in the kingdom. We're dealing with people that's lives are a mess. And you're going to have to be very patient. There's just no other way around. And you're going to have to be kind. And you're going to have to endure long with some people. But can you imagine if your dad and your grandpa and your uncles were all very coarse, hard, harsh individuals, how much that's going to be a challenge for you to get over? You ready? If your mom was the hypochondriac, if your favorite aunt was a horror film watcher, if your favorite uncle had dirty magazines out in the garage. You see what I'm saying? Somebody that you looked up to greatly in many of these areas trained you in a way that you don't even want to be. And you're like, I can't seem to get free of this. What's going on? It's your soulish realm. Your spirit, man, is in perfect relationship with God the Father. That's why you got to pray in the Holy Spirit every day. But the soulish realm is the place. Your mind, your will, and your emotion is the place where the battle is. And most times you were trained by somebody who sounded religious, maybe acted religious, maybe even went to a religious church. But they weren't a Christian at all. Verse 4. Love, never envious. Love never boils over with jealousy. Jealous of what? Like God's not going to do for you what he would do for anybody else on the face of this earth? Why would you be jealous? I saw somebody with a really nice vehicle the other day, and this fiery dart came. Oh, can you believe they got that? I'm like, yeah, God bless that person that's driving that vehicle. May they enjoy that vehicle. May they have another 5 or 6 just like it. Fill their garage with vehicles just like that. Don't be jealous. God, I am an heir of the grace of life. Why would I ever be jealous of anybody else? I have my own gifts, talents, and abilities. Put your hands on your own chest and say, I have everything I need in God. There's no reason for me to want somebody else. See, as soon as you and I get this down deep, every one of us will be here every time filled with grace of life and filled with life and power and strength and might, looking for somebody to be a blessing to.
Amen.
I'm preaching good. Love is not boastful, vainglorious, ready? Does not display itself haughtily. Look at me. Huh? You can see it in men and women. They always got to make their hair, their makeup, their face. They always got to make themselves. Why do you have to be haughty when you are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You and I have access to absolutely everything of this earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that means this whole earth is ours. Why would we ever treat anyone outside of this? Look at verse 5. That's a good message, whether you're getting it or not. And if you're not, just go back and listen to it again immediately when this program's over. Go to YouTube. It'll be available immediately on YouTube. Go right there. Click it. Send it. Put it on your YouTube. It's a good message. Somebody's like, are you conceited? No, I'm not conceited. And you think I can do all this by myself? This is the Holy Spirit of God that showed me this picture the other day. And I'm excited to share it with you. I'm honored to be one that can share. Love, verse 5, is not conceited. Love is not arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. Love is not rude. See, that's another one of those mocker words, rude. Does not act unbecomingly. That Rich Amway guy I always tell you about said over and over to us how you treat the waitress who serves you at the pizza restaurant is how God's going to treat you every day. Why? You're sowing it as a seed. Love is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, meaning among people. I want my way or it's the highway. No, that does not work. Now, when it's you and I standing on this word, driving off an enemy, it is exactly the Bible way. You get off my territory. That belongs to me. You are encroaching on my land. Get off. That's not how we treat each other, who are heirs of the grace of life. Ready? I'm trying to stay focused, but I got too much to preach yet. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. Look at this one. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Well, yeah, they said that. That was wrong. It's no big deal. Let's keep moving. See, this is what turns us into mighty men and women of God, because we begin to say, wait, that person either does not know who I am or what they just said, or if they did say it and they meant it, well, you just showed me how much of my life you get to be a part of. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to talk about you. As soon as you talk about them, you are lower than what they are. They now stand between you and God. Can't do it. It is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. Takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. I don't know why people would ever rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness. I hate it. I hate it. Hate it with all the hatred God's put in anybody. I rejoice when right and when truth prevail. Verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Pastor, you know how hard that one is? Oh, yeah. I got people right now God's telling me to believe in. I don't want to. It's none of you. Everybody's like, oh, is it me? No. No, you guys that are with us every day, it's not hard to believe in you guys. But there's some other people in my life. It's tough to believe in them because of their actions. And it would be no big deal if their actions were just every now and then. But when their actions are continually the same all the time, how am I supposed to believe in you? Except for this message that God gave me tonight that says, you were trained by some people you looked up to be that condemning, mean, nasty, ornery, self-seeking person. And it's not you, because your spirit is in perfect relationship with Almighty God. But that soulish realm is what we're dealing with. Don't be discouraged. Every human on the face of the earth that's ever walked with God has had to deal with this same issue. Most of them didn't have a pastor that saw this revelation to say, wait, that is not you. That's just something that somebody trained you to be. God will help you get right out of it. And if you'll take this word and begin to medicate it like you're sick and you need to be healed by a medicine, take this word and meditate it 4 times a day, your life will change. I encourage some of you, read verses 4 through 8 over and over, 4 times a day, 5 times. If you're finding yourself being unloving, then start reading these verses out loud. See, I give you many verses to read. You have to take the verses that are the very answer you need in your life, and you meditate those verses until they transform you from the inside out and you begin living in the effect of it. That's how this works. Every one of us. Where am I at? I'm in verse 7, love bears up under any and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. That's a powerful verse. You know, if you could you copy and paste this out of, like, well, I don't know why I would say that to you, and I can just, what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste it into Zoom. And then you can grab it from there and then put it in the other one. Some of you, this would do you good. Let me see here. Yeah. Wow, Zoom does a better job of copy and pasting. Always remember, you can find these, the Amplified, anytime somebody starts reading out of it, you can find it in BibleGateway.com. And that's an important website to always have with your Bible Gateway, because you can always go look at it there and copy and paste. Now, I copied that out of my eSword, but of course that cost me like $20, I think, for the Amplified for eSword. I mean, it's worth it to me, but not everybody wants to pay $20 per translation. It might not be that much now, but that's how much it was that I paid for. I'm in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Sister Leanne will post that over in the other places so you can copy and paste it from the comments if you'd like. Now, love never fails, verse 8. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need prophecy. He's going to be standing in front of us. As for tongues, they will be destroyed. In other words, all the tongues of the earth will not be necessary because we'll be in heaven and have one language. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by the truth. It doesn't mean that the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, it doesn't mean that speaking in tongues and interpretation on this earth before the rapture is going to pass away. That's not what it means. It will not pass away until we are in heaven and we no longer need it on this earth. Now, 1 Corinthians 13. Now let's read verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, Jesus, the rapture, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know just as we also are known. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Now, hold on just a second. Huh? Didn't work.
Oh, it's just really hurt. Yeah, and Facebook
fine,
but trying to get it in YouTube,
Yeah, on YouTube, that might not work. We'll just give you that reference or go find it on Bible Gateway and just put the link in. All right. Now, I'm going to show you how to do this. See if I can think backwards. This is the Facebook app, and you might say, well, Pastor, how can I copy and paste that? And many have tried, And many have thrown their phone all the way across the room because they know there's a way to do it, and it just has never shown up. Ready? Click it. Until you get the little message that pops up that says, unpin the comment or block Leanne Cottle. I showed you the wrong thing.
You got a kick out of that, didn't you?
Oh, that was funny. Now, let me see. Somewhere here. You're going to be able to scroll. Well, that didn't work. You're going to be able to scroll till you find the part that says like and reply under that comment. This is on Facebook Live. Click the word reply, the word reply. Then this screen comes up. Now hold your finger on that screen until this shows up. This is what I was sort of looking for. Reply, copy, or ban the user. Let me see if I can. I'm not going to do it because I'll end up banning Leanne, and that's not what I'm trying to get accomplished. So what you do is you click the copy, and now you've copied that. You can take that now over into your notepad. Hold on. You can take it into your notepad. That's this little thing right over here. Take it in your notepad and open up a new note. Open up a new note and just hold your finger down until you get paste. Paste. Paste.
You were flipping it around too many times. It just gave up. You've got to redo it.
All right. I will get this accomplished because I'm showing you how to do this. You're going to hold this down till it shows up, and then you're going to click, did I ban you?
I don't know.
And then you're going to come over here and click paste. There it is. I did it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, why did you go through all that? Because sometimes you want to copy a verse or something we put in there. What you got to do is scroll the verse up until you get like and reply. Click on reply and then hold your finger on the comment until it pops up that next screen, which gives you the ability to copy it. That's in Facebook Live. I would think that on YouTube, all you got to do is just highlight and copy, right? I don't know, and I'm not going to go find YouTube because I'm not there, and that's just make a mess, so I can't do that. Now, I'm going to read verse 8 again, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, this is not the right one. I'm trying to read 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. And back to our last verse, our first verse, 1 Peter 3:7. Giving honor to your brother and sister as being heirs together of the grace of life. This is a good word. Thank you, Father, for this good word for us tonight. I'm going to say it again. Remember, if you've been born again, your spirit man is in perfect. Oh, I was told to read that verse. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I got to read the verse. Holy Spirit said read it. You all can go home if you want. I've got to put the verse in, he tells me. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Say it, I'm a worshiper. I'm worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And as soon as you and I are born again, we are made one with the Father. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. John 17, 20 through 26 is one with the Father. This is what Jesus prayed, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And now, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 28. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. I'll say it again. Don't be condemned. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The only thing you're dealing with is a soulish realm that has been trained to be coarse, hard, harsh, or any of those other terminologies. And you've got to get that out of your soulish person because you were trained to be that way. And so, remember, your spirit man is in perfect communion with the Father. Your soulish man is what stands in the way. And that's what you and I work on by taking these words right out of the Bible and then meditating them down in. A good man out of the good treasure of his good heart brings forth good things. But if you don't ever take the words, speak it out loud, out of your own mouth, it won't get down in your heart and change what's in there. A good man brings forth good things out of the good treasure of his good heart. Let's pray. I want to talk to you about communion at the Capitol on Sunday. As soon as we're done, make sure you stay with us. Father, in Jesus' name, I know you showed me this picture. And in my mind, Father, it's very simple. And I certainly tried to share it with these people tonight, your people, your children, my brothers and sisters. And now I call on the Holy Spirit, I call on you, Holy Spirit, to bring the revelation of this truth and settle it, seat it down deep in our heart so that every one of us gets this revelation and treats each other as an heir to the grace of life as an heir. Help us, Lord. Help us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live on the inside. You are our resident teacher inside, helping us out. We receive it from you. We truly do. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus,
in the mighty name of
Jesus, I choose to deal with my soulish realm that I was trained to be by somebody else. And I choose to walk with you.
And I choose to walk.
Just like I'm doing every single day. And I receive the power of the Holy Spirit.
And I receive the power.
And the revelation of the Word of God. Transforming my life into the person you designed me to be. One with you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Man, I'm telling you right now, God has given this gathering of believers the most amazing messages I've ever heard. This one's so good, I got to go back and listen to it again myself, even though it was my mouth that was teaching it. If you don't understand that, man, I hope you get it one of these days, that I sit here amazed just like you do. Like, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. It didn't come from my wisdom. It didn't come from the depth of the intellectual process I have. It came from the Holy Spirit. Now, Sunday, 3 p.m., on the east steps of the Capitol in Lansing, Michigan, we'll be receiving communion together. Our communion service lasts about 15 minutes. Usually, it might last a little bit longer on Sunday, depending on how many people show up. I would love to have every one of you there. Dress warm. Bring your own communion elements and bread. Bring your own grape juice and bread. And stop at the gas station, buy your little bottle of grape juice in plastic with a lid. You can stick it in your pocket. Drink. Get you a bag of Cheez-Its and share them with everybody there. That's what I always use. You can buy them at about any gas station. And they work really good. Now, and we're going to be there. It's not this big, huge, organized event. I don't have a sound system. There may be a lot of people invited to it. That's fine. If 500 people show up, that's fine. But if there's five of us, that's fine. Because we're going to the Capitol to take communion, speak the blood of Jesus over that building. And rebuild the walls of righteousness in this nation that must be rebuilt. And, that was an interesting statement. Goldfish and grape juice. That's right. Works really good. They travel well. The goldfish travel real well. 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon. East steps of the Capitol. And when we get done, if you can hang around, we'll probably go catch a cup of coffee at the local McDonald's or Burger King, whatever's open, if there is anything open. Goodness sakes alive, I can't believe what's not open, but you don't have to come prepared to eat a big meal, spend a lot of money. We just want to be together with you, anoint you with oil, pray over you, and ask God to bless your lives and bless your pocketbook, bless your money, your finances, your life, because that's what God's doing in our lives. And I want to welcome every one of you to that in Jesus' mighty name. Well, it's time for us to receive the communion elements. We call it the New Covenant Worship. In your Bible, you should be on the right page, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just one page back, 3 p.m. Thank you, Sunday. And that's awesome. We'd love to have you, Gail. We'd love to meet you. Everybody here, we'd love to see you face to face. And we're here. We get to see you. And we all get to see everybody. I really want to see you get there. And share it with other people who like to do this. Don't share it with mockers and confused people that's just going to come and make a mess. Don't do that. Share it with good, solid, faithful believers who truly believe in the ways of God and want to be and know God. We're not trying to convince somebody that's not convinced. We're drawing together those who are convinced. Yes, I did. Well, of course we met you, a living word, but we want to see you again before Jesus comes. If you guys only knew how much I want to go to Israel right now and do an Israel trip, I'm telling you the truth. It doesn't matter what's going on over there. They say the tourism industry is open and going crazy. You don't have to have COVID to go on the tour. So I'm ready to go. I don't know about the flight to get there. We might have to buy a ship and all go in a big ship because I'm ready to go. Maybe we just got to buy our own airliner.
Hallelujah. Let's do that.
Amen. I'm ready to go. I do. Wouldn't it be something if you was on a tour in the Holy Land when Jesus came back?
How awesome would that be?
That would be amazing.
At his house.
Yeah, on the beach at Jesus Lake House. Stand there at the lake house. I bet we'd be the first to go. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23, the New Covenant Worship. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. God's perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. And there should be no fear in the communion elements either. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. For those of you that might be with us and this is your first time to ever receive communion with us, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. The prayer of salvation, rededication. It's also a prayer of hallelujah. I'm walking with God. Pray it every day. I encourage every one of you to do this at least once a day, 2-3 times a day. If you've got a really serious physical problem in your life, then I would recommend you do communion, do our communion service right off the website. Do it 4 times a day. Set your clock every 6 hours, just like you would for medication. And medicate the communion elements. And watch God heal you in your body. I want everybody to pray this prayer with us today, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
In John chapter 1.
In John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for
that.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
Put your hands up and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
Right now, today.
Right now, today.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. That's the first time you prayed that prayer? Welcome to the kingdom of God. If it's the 100th time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. This is the family of God. It's who we are. It's what we look like. Aren't we a cool looking bunch? We even get to wear a Harley Davidson shirt. I like it. And my cross. Thank you, Roger Oxen. Watch this. In that one prayer, you might say, some of you are saying, wow, Pastor, what's going on in the inside of me? What's going on is an experience. You just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. And you became a part of the family of God, all in a 60-second prayer. How did that work, Pastor? Jesus, the light of the world, you invited him in. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you invited him in. Jesus, who is perfect in all of his righteousness, you just said, I receive all of your righteousness, and you are now filled with righteousness. You become it. And when all of that happens, the Father looks over at Jesus and says, adopt him into the family. Now, according to Romans 8, 14 through 17, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Right here, right now, today, from now on. And you didn't get a religion. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get a church or a church building. You got in a relationship, your relationship with your Father, who is the one that put your being into your mama in her womb. In her womb, you are now in the perfect relationship with God your Father. You might not ever figure out how to be a quote-unquote Christian, but you can be a believer every day by just saying, I believe. From this day forward, your responsibility is to walk with God every day. Him as your Father. Simply wake up and pray, Father, help me walk with you. Everybody pray it. Father, help me walk with you.
Just help me walk.
And he will. And he does. He made the whole universe and he made you. And he saw fit to put you here on this earth for such a time as this. Yeah, he did. And he's counting on you. You might say, Pastor, I don't know anything about this. That's why you found us. We know a whole lot about it. Because I listened to my pastor, and he listened to his pastor, and he listened to his pastor, and all the way back to Jesus and the disciples. They listened to their pastor, and they were disciples. They became a convert. They were born again. They became a convert. They became a disciple, and then they became an epistle, right of all men. How it works. We got over, we have 1,000 videos. I saw it the other day. We have 1,000 videos that we can disciple you with. We just need to know where you're at and how we can help you. Shoot me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Tell me your story. Ask me a question. Whatever I can do to help you walk with God, I want to do it. You got to get discipled so that you can be that effective person in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go. Get your elements. Get you some grape juice and some bread. And you might say, whoops, I'm not ready. Grab your phone. Run out to the kitchen. but don't drop your phone in the sink. Ready? Let's bless our elements. Even bread and water works. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify
for this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community
in
of
Jesus,
faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive bread together. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, despised the shame, and are set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over
and
my
cannot
life.
Be on me or my family.
And not be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down forever.
Is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive the juice together. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I really want to sing that song, but I don't know it good enough. So, let's sing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving
my soul.
I'm messing up. Making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you. me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Well, the Bible said that they sang a hymn and then went out. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word tonight. Really, I'm telling you, this is a powerful word. Some of you ought to listen to it again right now. It's that powerful. Go to YouTube and help me and put in some timestamps on it. That would be wonderful, because that's a good word. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. If you're in Michigan, we're here in Michigan. If you're in the West Branch or Northern Michigan area, get in contact with us. We'd love to see you and be a blessing to you and hug your neck, pray over you, help you walk with God in any way that we can. Well, tomorrow's Saturday. There's no noon prayer tomorrow. And there will be a program tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow's Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Right. Tomorrow's Saturday. There will be a question and answer session tomorrow night. Send in your questions and your answers. We'll see if we can put them together and create a program. It's too funny. And then Sunday, we'll see you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll probably still have a noon program, but it might be something you have to do running down the road. We might be running down the road. And all right. Anyways, we'll give you some more heads up on that as we get there. But it's 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. We'll be a blessing to you there. And we want to see every one of you. Honestly, if 500 people show up, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's not going to go in the newspaper. It's not going to be put out to the news media, because we don't need all that mess there. We need believers there who will stand in faith and receive communion in Jesus' mighty name. Good night, Gail. Good night, Sunday. All of our YouTube videos, all of our YouTube viewers, we love you. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. 32 nations of the world, New Zealand and Vietnam has just been added, and we bless you. We bless all of Europe. Fight hard. Russia, run. Go back where you belong. Putin, tuck your tail between your legs and run home. May there be a mass defection of Russian troops to the freedom of the world right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again, which some of you, it'll be in about another 35 minutes for Read the Word. And the rest of you, it'll be tomorrow night. Or maybe we'll see you here in Michigan somewhere tomorrow. We're going to be in West Branch area. But come and see us. Call you blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Wait, we got to have a closing verse. Our closing, Sister Phyllis, where was you tonight? And Sister Mary Pasterick, where was you at? Felicia Eicher, where was you?
Roger,
where'd everybody go? Is there like a major news event happening I don't know about? We got an earthquake or a war or something going on?
They're on vacation.
All right. Well, that's what we have to say. Remember this, the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The last verse of the Bible is, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. And amen. See you soon.
Ask you a question?
Yeah, hang on just a second. Yeah. I got to click a couple more buttons so I can get this stuff all in the right place here. Call you blessed, Brother Dan. Love you. See you soon. All right, go ahead, Audrey.
You think you might be doing Sunday live? At
the capital? More than likely we will be live.
Okay. I don't have a car yet.
All right, well, We're asking God to bring an angel to pick you up and bring you down here.
That would be cool. And it's quite a bit on Tony. He doesn't do things very well.
Right. We're just asking God to make it happen. Don't know how, but I speak it done.
I speak it done also.
And, you know, maybe it'd be one of your grandkids say, Grandma. Yeah, your son or your grandson, your grandkids say, Mom, let's go.
They're too far away.
All right. Well.
It'll happen. I hope it happens. No, it will happen.
Amen. You got it. You got it. You did it right there. See, everybody, that's exactly what we were talking about right there.
I have to keep doing it.
Audrey did it right in front of your face. She said, it could happen. No, it's going to happen.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Thanks for being a part of our life, Audrey.
Amen.
Thank you for keeping me so much. So much.
Hey, we love it. And God loves it. And you love it.
And Leanne, are you home sick yet?
Are we what?
A little bit. Is Leanne homesick?
Homesick?
Homesick.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess she said yeah, but I'm not. I'm on here preaching the gospel with all y'all and doing the work of God, and that's that's what Jesus said. I definitely like my bed and my shower better than anybody else's. I can guarantee you that.
But that's really cool what you guys are doing. It's really awesome.
Well, that's really good to hear.
You need some gas popping your line. Or should I just talk to some anyway?
The heater's running, so I have to get a little closer. It's hard to hear. You have to speak loud.
Do you need gas in your car?
Do we need gas in our car? Only every day, but we're not asking you that you send us more money unless God's in telling you to do it. But always make that an assignment from God. We're going to need gas in our car every day till Jesus comes, so that's something you can always do. But as it sits right now tonight, the gas tank is full.
I don't know how. Sometimes I know how it functions. Does that make sense?
I didn't hear you because it got real noisy. Go ahead.
Sometimes I'm not sure if he's telling me.
Oh. Yeah.
I'll know by tomorrow.
Well, and, you know, God is your father, and he's always clear, and that's what we always have to go by, is that clarity.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, and thank you for always, thank you for always asking questions, and thank you for always being just a willing helper in every bit of this.
I feel like I don't do enough, because I don't know how to punch numbers and verses, and the directions are there. It takes me a long time to get it, but when I get it, I got it usually.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? I'm going to be where God wants me and needs me to be.
Amen.
For him.
Amen.
And then I will be happy doing that. And if it's a struggle and stressful, then I think God's saying, no, that's not for you right there.
Yeah. Sometimes what he tells you to do has a certain amount of struggle in it. And we don't like it when that happens, but.
I think I know what kind that is.
Yeah.
That's a little different than this one.
Yeah, there
I'm
you
thinking.
Go. There you go.
Okay. Good night, you guys. I have to let you go because you've got things to do.
Yes, we do. Yes,
all
we do.
Right, bye.
Bless you, Audrey. Love you. Bless you, Rebecca
bless you.
Smith. Love you.
Love you, Leanne. Love you, Rebecca Smith. Good night.
Love you, honey.
Love you, Phyllis.
Love you, Rebecca. Love you too, Audrey.
Phyllis, are you all right? Are you all right, Phyllis?
Phyllis.
Well, all right. That's what we got for tonight. We'll see ya.
Next one is the self joke. This part is playing the double on your part.
Don't know. All right. Love you guys. All right. There we go. Brother Dan's still with us.
Oh, I'm Blog Talk? Oh, okay.